VGCasters, thanks for tuning in to another episode of VGCast. We are back after a long hiatus, but boy, oh boy, do we have a lot going on, a lot that we are going to talk about on this edition, this episode of VGCast. As always, we are going to be here to digest the latest video game news in our changelog. We're going to chat about what we've been playing in our game queue and what to look forward to in the world of the gaming industry at the end of the podcast. I'm your host, Brad Johansson, and with me today, as always, is our co-host and our friend, the man who stars in Call of Duty Fallout for Syndicates, Mr. Troy Giles. What's up, man?
Don't forget, I come out of the vault and everything, too, so, you know, let's throw that in there as well.
Yeah, it's a special downloadable content only for those who entered to win a special sweepstakes contest. But yes, the lead character.
I didn't even know about it.
What kind of game would that be? Call of Duty Fallout for Syndicates. Wow, that would be a survival post-apocalyptic first-person shooter with assassin blades.
Sounds about as ridiculous as it could be. Yeah.
Well, let's get right into what we do at the beginning of every single episode. Let's talk about our change log, and a lot has happened. Boy, oh boy, a lot has happened since the last time that we were recording. So, Troy, as our special lead character guest, what would be on the top of your change log?
Let's see. Man, there's been a lot of news. Probably a major and most recent event so far has been BlizzCon and the amount of news that's come out of there. Such as Overwatch, their newest game that of their creation from Blizzard Studios will be coming to both PC and console, which it threw a lot of people for a loop that it was actually coming to consoles. Everybody knew it was coming to PC, but now it's coming to consoles as well in two different versions, with a $40 version and a $60 version.
$40 version exclusive only to PC, however.
Is it?
That's what I read.
I thought it was $40 for all three versions.
Oh, maybe it is. Regardless, yes, there are two versions. Yeah. So 40 and 60. Yeah.
Yeah. And from what I've heard from people that have played the beta and from what I've seen from BlizzCon, it looks like a pretty interesting game that could definitely be worth $40.
Describe the game a little bit. First-person shooter, multiplayer, kind of looks like free-to-play, right? But not free-to-play.
Yeah, it looks like free-to-play, but it's not free-to-play, considering that they give you all the characters at the start.
Yeah.
All 21 characters that they have in the game so far, they'll give it to you from the start.
It gives me a bit of a Team Fortress 2 vibe. Do you kind of feel that as well?
Yeah. It does give me that sort of vibe from it, because, I mean, you look at it, it looks a little cartoony. Just like Team Fortress 2. It's got some of the same objective-type gameplay from that. They have payload and point capture, which is pretty much the same thing from Team Fortress 2 as well. So,
right. Anybody who doesn't know what Team Fortress 2 is, it is a sequel to Team Fortress, obviously developed by Valve. It came out originally in the Orange Box / Black Box, which was the PC version, which coupled it with the original Portal, Half-Life 2, and it was only a multiplayer first-person shooter, right? Was it first-person? Yes, it was first-person.
Yes, it was first-person.
It was very cartoony, kind of Pixar-like. Not like Disney Animation Studios cartoony, but kind of Pixar-like in its 3D models, that kind of thing. But it was only multiplayer. It was kind of this fun, not super serious, hardcore, realistic shooter that we were getting. But that came out in 2007. Can you believe that game came out that long ago? So Overwatch looks like a more modern kind of interpretation on that same model, which is still being played by thousands of people today, Team Fortress 2. Isn't that crazy?
Very. But also not that crazy considering it's free to play anyways. So, sure. Yeah. It's crazy, but you know.
What do you think about Overwatch? Is that something you would be interested in picking up?
You know, I signed up for the beta, didn't get put into it. You know how Blizzard betas can be. They can be a little tough to get into for the first time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It looks interesting. I mean, I love anything new. I mean, it's a PC shooter. Well, it was a PC shooter. Now it's a console shooter. You know, it's a shooter. It's an interesting looking shooter. The characters seem very interesting also. It just seems like they're very goofy, cartoony, stuff like that. And, you know, I kind of like that kind of thing. Like, I wasn't able to get Sunset Overdrive when that came out for Xbox One. I want to go back and get that because it looked a little cartoony.
I loved it.
Goofy and crazy. And this just looks like the type of game that would be right up my alley. Because, I mean, that's the one thing that a lot of us like when we play shooters and stuff, the over-the-top craziness that can happen in a shooter, you know, that we can get a little chuckle out of instead of the hardcore, you know, I got killed by one shot from way across the map and stuff like that. This looks like a type of game that you can laugh about dying to and still be competitive with it as well.
Right, which is a similar sense that you got from games such as Team Fortress 2, such as Monday Night Combat, again another one, which is a little more MOBA and third person, but it had the same kind of feel that you're describing, which was it's kind of a fun first-person shooter that you don't have to take so seriously. I'm sure there will be people who take it seriously and just decimate other players, but this isn't a Call of Duty. This isn't Battlefield, that kind of thing. So, like you said, it's something you can kind of relax and kind of laugh about when things go crazy, which they probably will.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely laugh about.
So would you pay $40 for this, having seen what you've seen now?
Yes, I would pay $40 for the console version. If the console version is $40, I would pay $40 for. Now, if console, I would think that the $60 version is also going to be on PC as well, because I see some of the little bonuses that you get. You get like 5 new skins or 5 ultimate skins for characters, and you also get some stuff for Blizzard's other games like Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, Diablo, Warcraft, all that. You get extra little bonuses from those too, little cosmetic things. So if I was getting it on the PC, I might get the $60 version just to get the little bonuses for the other games that Blizzard has in their library. Because I don't know if it'll translate if you got a $60 version for the console, I don't know if that would translate over to, you know, getting your PC rewards also, because all those other games are mostly PC.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it looks like a game that'd be worth $40. It looks like a game could be possibly worth $60. I just got to see a little bit more to make that finalized.
Yeah. Well, while we are on the subject of BlizzCon and Overwatch, there was some other news that kind of trickled out. This is obviously a video game podcast show, but because Warcraft is getting a movie, we might as well talk just a little bit about the Warcraft trailer. What'd you think of that Warcraft trailer?
Okay.
Was it okay? Is that your thoughts on it?
No. They have me intrigued. It's like, okay, well, it's a Warcraft trailer. It's definitely Warcraft.
It is definitely Warcraft. Very CG heavy. CG heavy. In fact, I think the actors must have been acting in front of blue and green screens the entire time.
I would think so, from all the stuff that we see in the trailer, like griffins and orcs and... I mean, just the orcs alone would be nothing but green screen for the most part in CGI.
Yeah.
But no, it looks really good.
Video game movie. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. For a video game movie, I mean, hell, for a fantasy type movie, it looks pretty good as well so far from trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no Lord of the Rings or anything like that. Can't say that right off the bat. But, it could be pretty good. It could be one of those it could be the video game movie that actually does well. And I have a feeling it's going to do well, whether it's good or not is the other case in point. Cause I'm thinking a lot of people that love Warcraft and love Blizzard saw this trailer, went bananas and want to go see the movie. Now the movie could be terrible. And that happens. A lot of movies can be terrible, but still make lots of money.
Looking at Transformers.
Yeah. Looking at Transformers. Definitely Transformers. I would say Pixels, but I don't think Pixels made their budget back. But
No.
That's another bad video game movie anyway.
Yeah, but that's true. That one also recently came out to Blu-ray. If anybody's thinking about renting it, I would say no. But this is not a video game podcast. However, this is not a movie video game podcast. But also a little tidbit of information. Activision also released information that Call of Duty is getting a movie series as well.
Yeah.
And another franchise, I'm not sure what it was. However, Warcraft is not under this new umbrella that they're calling, I think, Activision Blizzard Studios for making films. Call of Duty is going to be one of those franchises that they're bringing films to, but Warcraft is not, the new Warcraft movie is not under that new umbrella because that is being done by Universal and I believe Paramount, or Legendary maybe, Universal and Legendary. But yeah, Call of Duty is also getting, would you go see a Call of Duty movie?
No. Why? The games are a movie.
That's right. The games are summer blockbusters. I agree with you 100%. I don't understand that part at all.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm thinking Activision making their own Call of Duty movies, I'm thinking like direct to DVD or straight to Netflix type movies.
Right.
Those are the type of movies that I could think of. Oh, and the other thing that they're going to be doing is the Skylanders TV show.
That's it. That may have been the other thing that I saw. Yeah. So, that one I can understand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's money in that. I mean, they've got the toys already.
Sure.
Make a television show already. I mean, yeah, kids will eat it up. Kids already eat up the freaking toys already, and I don't know how many iterations of Skylanders there are, but every time I look around, there's a different version of Skylanders out there.
Well, you look at what Skylanders, what it kind of did to the industry. I mean, Disney Infinity is now at 3.0. They've got their characters all over the place, and then yeah. You have Nintendo with their Amiibos who are just printing money with those things. And I mean, Skylanders is doing great. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's probably doing as great as it was initially because there's so much more competition now. But yeah, I could totally see kids watching a Skylanders TV show. It makes perfect sense in that regard, as opposed to the Call of Duty news that there's going to be a movie for Call of Duty. I don't quite understand that one. If they get Michael Bay to direct it, I swear to God.
I don't know. It could be UA Bowl. For that one.
Oh, God, no.
Since it's a video game movie. What would the plot be for a Call of Duty movie? I mean, we've already seen all the crazy crap in the video games.
Look, man, I thought I had seen all of the crazy Call of Duty plots, but nope, they just keep pumping them out because I got Black Ops 3, which I'll talk about later. But, I mean, it seems like they can just make up any kind of... Who was that author who did a bunch of Tom Clancy? They just make up some crazy Tom Clancy stories, essentially, about CIA and the NSA and rogue terrorist organization. Throw in some set pieces like explosions or glaciers, and boom, you got a Call of Duty game. So, I mean, I guess it's possible. I mean, none of the Call of Duty games really have stories. They just have large, bombastic set pieces that get you to go, whoa, that was cool. But they don't really have... I mean, can you remember the story from any Call of Duty game?
Yeah.
Really?
Let's see. Because Black Ops and Black Ops 2 are connected.
Right.
It was about the numbers, Mason, sleeper cells and stuff like that. I mean, I can remember some of the story. Okay, I can't get specifics, all right?
What was the overarching plot, though? Like, what was
that
the
one?
You know, for Star Wars, it was Luke Skywalker becoming a Jedi to stop the Darth Vader, who, spoiler alert, was his dad. So what was the plot of any Call of Duty game? Anyone?
Okay. I mean, from... Modern Warfare, it was nothing. It was just about a Russian villain basically trying to start World War III and succeeding. For the most part.
Okay, that's not a bad. Maybe we could see a movie about something like that. The James Bond movies. I mean, right? What the hell is going on with James Bond movies these days? Right?
I don't want to talk about it. but like I said, it's like okay. If they make a movie basically of Modern Warfare, if the Modern Warfare story or the Black Ops story and stuff like that, anybody that's played those games have already seen it. It's going to be old hat for us. It's going to be like, okay, we know where this is going.
I would have suspected it'd be new, right?
It had to be a new story, but I'm wondering, will they go the route of make a new story for a movie and coincide that with a video game release as well?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. Because they'd have to come out at the same time.
Right.
You have to worry about spoilers from one or the other. Or maybe the movie ends a different way than the video game ends or something like that. Who knows?
Maybe the movie sets up the events for the video game.
That could possibly work. But then you're going to get a lot of people that are just mad because, oh, we have to see the video game. We have to play the video game to see the movie or vice versa. You know, to know what's going on. You know, a lot of us don't like to be thrown into a game not knowing what's going on. That's like playing an episodic content game at episode 3.
Yeah. In addition to the Call of Duty movie and the Warcraft movie, we are also getting a Witcher. What is it, trilogy? Isn't that what they said?
I'm not sure it's a trilogy or not.
Definitely at least getting one Witcher film. Who would you have play Geralt of Rivia?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, that's the question on everybody's lips of who's going to be playing Geralt right now from a Witcher movie. It's ridiculous. I don't even see why they even did it. But let's see. Geralt of Rivia.
I would guess it's got to be someone in the mid-30s. I would assume they're going to need someone with long hair or who can grow long hair or who looks okay with long, straight, white hair. But yeah, that would be it'd be interesting to see who they could get. Maybe Michael Fassbender. You know, he's doing these video game and comic book movies. He seems like a bit of a nerd, so maybe they get him to do it. I don't know if he could pull off the hard, dryness of Geralt of Rivia, but who knows?
Well, I mean, the problem with that is he's already going to be in the Assassin's Creed movie.
Yeah.
Are we just going to put Fassbender in all the movies for...
Yes.
For video games?
Let him be in Call of Duty as well. Maybe he'd make the Call of Duty film appear to be good. I mean... Who knows?
Okay. Now you're just throwing people in there now, just seeing if it's going to stick.
Yeah. Well, that should wrap up most of the movie video game news. Out of BlizzCon, I think they went over some stuff about StarCraft II, which we won't talk about because I don't think either one of us care about StarCraft II. They went over, a trailer for the new World of Warcraft expansion.
Yeah, I did see that.
That looked pretty cool. So some more goodness coming out of Blizzard for World of Warcraft. It looks like they're still not letting that game die, which I commend them for that. Moving right on from that, I guess we could go ahead and talk about what was on the top of my game queue, and that would have to be revolving around that Activision circle. Activision purchasing Candy Crush developer for $5.9 billion, almost $6 billion. Getting 300 plus million active players a month. Wow, what a move. I think that's cheap. $6 billion for someone who, a developer, a team that gets 300 million active players a month. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing is that they still get that many people playing that game.
And there's only more and more people getting cell phones and access to that game every single day. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant move by Activision. Brilliant. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, it was brilliant, all right. I mean, you're right. It was relatively cheap, considering that, I mean, when Activision and Blizzard formed, it was at a estimated $18.9 billion.
Woo!
I think when Disney bought Lucas, it was only... half that? I think it might have been $3 billion or something like that.
Yeah, I get that confused with the Minecraft deal, which was about $2 billion. So yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I mean, when you throw them all in there, it's like, okay. I mean, yeah, they bought Microsoft bought Minecraft for $2 billion. You know, Disney buying Marvel and Star Wars for a couple million billion. You know, they're getting off pretty cheap for a company that only makes mobile games, basically. Because what? They didn't just acquire Candy Crush. They acquired everything that they had, right? Everything
I think so. Yeah, they got the whole... Which, in a similar way, reverts back to Minecraft being... it's not Minecraft. Who's the developer of Minecraft? Anyway, Microsoft buying the developer of Minecraft, they also got the other projects that they are working on, which... Let's be honest, it's basically none. They were working on other projects, but Minecraft is what Microsoft bought, although they did get the rights to everything else. Yes, Activision got the rights to everything else that the Candy Crush developer is working on, but I'm pretty sure Candy Crush is their thing, I would guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty much some to guess that is the major thing that they have. I mean, I'm pretty sure they have other stuff, but Candy Crush is what they're known for. And what they're making most of their money for. So, yeah. They spent a lot of money, but they're probably looking at a lot more money coming back.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
And, Disney bought Lucasfilm for 4, billion dollars. So, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Activision spent more money
on Candy Crush
than Disney spent on Lucasfilm. Think about that, kids. You kids out there that love your Star Wars and stuff like that, it was worth less than Candy Crush.
Oh, wow.
In 2012. I mean, in 2012, there might have been some inflation by that point. So, you know, but still. Candy Crush beat freaking Disney, beat Lucasfilm on how much they were sold for. So
that means Activision could have purchased Star Wars had they wanted to.
Yeah, they could have. I mean, crazy. They could have. But I mean, like I said, now just think about what Activision has their hands into now. I mean, they're going into movies and stuff, movies and television now. They have one of the biggest PC giants out there with Blizzard. You know, they pretty much have some very solid games that make tons of money. Activision itself has Call of Duty, which makes tons of money on the console front and on PC as well. And now they're going to be taking over mobile.
I they're just going to be slowly eating up. I mean, if you think about it, this company now owns Candy Crush, the Call of Duty franchise, World of Warcraft. I mean, those are three wildly popular and lucrative pieces of entertainment right there. I mean, massively lucrative.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, hey, Jesus Christ. Remember when EA was the big fish in the pond, and now Activision just decided to just punch them in the face?
Yeah, they just took Call of Duty and ran with it. The money year over year with them coming from that franchise. I mean, yeah, they're kind of, they can do, and with Warcraft money. I mean, they're still, 11 million subscribers playing Warcraft? Subscribers?
5.5 million now.
It's down to 5?
They either are down to 5 or they lost 5.
Well, regardless, so it might be about 5.
Yeah.
Regardless, they've been doing this for 10 years and they've still got 5 million paid subscribers every single month.
Yeah.
That's a lot of change coming in every single month. So they definitely have the money to throw some stuff around. I just hope they keep, I don't know if keep is the right word, but I hope they are able to pump out better and better games. I know Blizzard kind of has its run and they're able to do the things that other developers would not have gotten the opportunity to do, probably because the company is actually called Activision Blizzard. So Blizzard is able to operate kind of on their own grounds. Warcraft can get as many expansions as it wants. Essentially, they can do whatever they want with StarCraft. So, but I would kind of like to see, I don't know, maybe some new IP popping up from Activision, things like Mirror's Edge or Dead Space, things that EA did to try and revitalize its lineup. I would like to see Activision kind of do that as well, since they have so much money flowing into their revenue streams. But
yeah,
who knows?
Would make sense to start throwing it into some new properties.
Instead of Guitar Hero Live.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any other news bits that you want to touch on for your game?
Speaking of Mirror's Edge, I mean, that got pushed back.
Oh, when did that get pushed? Where did that get pushed to?
Mirror's Edge Catalyst, the reboot. Yeah, it's a reboot. Might as well call it a reboot.
Yes.
That got pushed to. It's going to be in May of 2016 instead of February of 2016. Because it was going to be February 23rd, 2016. The same day as Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, and Far Cry Primal. And they just moved it to May 24th of 2016. So, I mean, it was only moved a couple months.
Hmm.
Not as bad as it could have been, but, you know.
Well, and we also have, there's other little tidbits of news as well. We had another massive disaster of a broken game for PC with Call of Duty Black Ops 3. I mentioned earlier I did get that game. I'm glad I got it for Xbox One because apparently it's very Batman-like. It is a disaster. is a lot of the things that I was reading. You got kind of the same issues that what we saw with Batman with low frame rates, glitchy game for unexpected reasons. So that's kind of what It seems to be a trend now, unfortunately, just PC games. I'm really hoping Fallout 4 isn't that way because I got it.
Jesus. 4. Yeah, you just brought that up.
Ugh. I forgot. Although Bethesda is notorious for having very glitchy games as well. However, usually their PC counterparts are as good, if not slightly better, than their console versions because they tend to be a PC first developer. I did see some reports that the PS4 version of Fallout 4 has some issues. But getting off of shitty ports, GameStop also released I guess they didn't release their Black Friday deals were leaked, and there were some, I think it's kind of a no-brainer. Most PlayStation 4s and Xbox Ones are going to be $299 for this Black Friday only. Mm-hmm. Target's having a one-day sale on November 14th for PlayStation 4s for $299 plus a quote-unquote free game. However, the early report on that is that the free game is whatever's bundled with the bundle. Smooth move, Target. GameStop is doing the same thing. However, theirs is just $299 for any bundle, either system. Whether that's, except for like obviously the special editions with Darth Vader's face on them, yeah, that kind of thing. So if you want Uncharted, the Uncharted bundle PlayStation 4 would be $299. That's a pretty sweet deal. That's better than even what I was anticipating. So anybody's looking to pick up a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, that is the time to do it. You can probably pick up all of those deals online as well on those dates. You don't have to actually go to a store. So
and I would invite tons of people.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta be careful, man. Some of those people are in Walmarts and Best Buy, I don't know if you've ever seen the videos, but good God, those people, they go crazy.
I've seen the videos and have been in the middle of it before. It's absolutely nuts.
All right, well, let's transition right out of the change log and let's jump into GameCube. Troy, you're up first. I've seen what you've been playing. Tell everyone else, what have you been playing?
Let's see. Let's go with the latest iteration of Assassin's Creed.
Yes, I want to hear about that. I have not played it.
It is so good.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. I guess my biggest complaint about it is it's just another, you know, it's like any other Assassin's Creed game. There's all the collectibles on the map, you know. So you just kind of get distracted on, oh, I need to go do this, or I'm going to go do this, and then there's a collectible right there. It's like, oh, I can go get that. And you see another and another and another. So it kind of just distracts you enough to keep you away from like your main objectives that you want to do. But all in all, it is a step forward from Unity. It is a giant step forward from Unity because we cut out the multiplayer. We're just giving you a single player game, and that's all you need. Honestly, that is all you need. Character-wise, you know, the twins of Evie and Jacob Fry are very interesting. Jacob can be sort of a tool, but that's not, you know, that should have been, you know, you should have seen that one coming. Let's see. Some very interesting things with the alternate missions and stuff like that they have in there. They're, you know, because like in Unity, they had a mission where you jumped to World War II, I believe, for some reason. They do a very interesting take for this one.
That's interesting.
Let's see. All in all, it's not that bad. It, of course, it has microtransactions that you can easily avoid. Yeah, they're basically just an automatic win button if you want to get like certain resources quicker, money quicker, or something like that. You know, you can just pump some actual money into the game and do that, but you really don't need it. You make a lot of money in this game as long as you invest in the right skills and stuff. You make a lot of money in this game naturally, so the microtransaction part of the game doesn't even need to be focused on. Since Ubisoft got rid of Uplay, now it's the Ubisoft Club. It's not as annoying. Like, I don't remember actually having, well, since it's console, I don't think you ever have to really log into the club or whatever, or Uplay or whatever. So, you don't really notice that you're logging into the Ubisoft Club when you're logging into this game.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the biggest complaint for most people is that with Unity, it was just a lot of people on screen. you can tell they backed down from this, and that might have been, I mean, that may have been the problem with Unity, is that there's just too many people on the screen for that game to try and control. I mean, try and, you know, and for your machines to try and handle.
That's a lot of AI behavior and polygon. It's a very high polygon count. So yeah, absolutely. It takes a lot. That's a huge toll on that board.
Yeah. Even though they're the same, most, you know, every 5-10 feet, they're the same person anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still a lot of polygons on the screen, but this time they cut it down quite a bit. It does. The streets aren't empty. It's busy. It's bustling. It's London, but you can tell they've cut it down from Unity, which, like I said, it's a good thing. But all in all, I really enjoyed it so far. I love the Batman launcher that they basically give you with this. It can be a little finicky sometimes, though, but it helps out in a pinch. I play with it, and it's like, man, this would have been great in these other Assassin's Creeds. Just, you know, being able to rope launch and get out of the way of something or escaping rather easily. But still challenging. Some new little mechanics like kidnapping. You know, you don't get your assassin buddies. You get your own little London gang. So, all in all, it's pretty good. Not game of the year, but, you know, it's a really great, solid game.
Performance-wise, it's been holding up pretty okay. You're not seeing missing faces or
no
sub 30 frame rates here and there.
No missing faces. I guess the biggest frame rate drop I've seen is if I accidentally cause a massive chase scene with the horse carriages in the game. Yeah. If there's a lot of NPCs chasing after me and you can ram them to the side and slam into them, kind of gets the frame rate drops a little bit. It's noticeable, but it's not but it picks right back up after you slam into him. It's not like, and it's not herky jerk. It's just, you notice that it's slowed down a little bit too.
So that initial loading of the models and that kind of thing, it probably slows down. Right.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, once they're loaded, you're probably good to go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And cause they'll show damage on the carriage and whatnot and stuff like that. So that, you know, when I'm getting chased by one, it's not that bad. But when it's multiple ones, it can be a little hectic, and a little not herky jerk, but you can notice the frame rate drop a little bit. But other than that, it runs really smooth.
Now, do you get to play as the male or female character interchangeably, or is the story divided into here's a mission with the male character?
Now,
the male brother,
with their side missions. And like the different people that give you side missions, or like the different activities in the game, like there's boxing, cargo stealing, boat raids and stuff like that. You can choose between either or, as long as you're not in the middle of one of the activities. Of course, if you're just walking around, you can just hit the right stick.
Okay.
I believe when you're only paused, you can hit the right stick and it'll switch between Evie and Jacob. Now, they both have their own separate story missions, though. Like one, like their icon will show up on the map as Jacob's will be a guy with a top hat, basically. And then Evie's will be the traditional Assassin's Creed hood type icon. So, because she's more the actual assassin, he's more the brawler type, I'm in your face, ready to punch your lights out.
He's more the London gangster kind of guy.
Exactly. And I mean, you can even tell that with their weapons of choice. Like Evie chooses a cane sword, and Jacob will choose between a pair of brass knuckles or a giant knife. So, you know, he's, like I said, he's more the brawler. They even have their own sets of skills that are specifically for them, because they have their skill trees, and only certain ones can be used for Evie and certain ones can be used for Jacob. So They're different characters. They each get their own stuff. You know, they get their own little assassin's robes and stuff like that. He wears belts. She wears like cloaks and stuff like that. So, but I mean, they play pretty similarly for the most part. But like I said, Evie's more stealth, and Jacob's more brawling in your face. So,
does the story seem pretty good so far?
So far, it's an Assassin's Creed story. Stop Templars from getting a certain object, a piece of Eden. There's not too much in the future type area, though. That's, you know, how Assassin's Creed is the, you're going into your ancestors' memories and whatnot, or whatever. I don't even know. There's not too much of that anymore, really. Like, I got a little scene up at the beginning, and then there was a little scene after two or three sequences, and that's it so far. I haven't gotten a single one yet. And I'm up to, like, sequence 7, so...
I think, if I remember correctly, Unity and Black Flag, whenever you went to the quote-unquote future sequences, you were just a first-person mode game developer working at Abstergo.
Yeah.
Game development, and you were researching stuff for new levels, but there wasn't really any depth to the story at that point. There were little, like, tidbits where you would run into a character that was helping Desmond in Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and 3. In their future sequences, you would run into a character who is used to be helping that person, and it would make you think, are they undercover, trying to infiltrate Abstergo, which to me was absurd. I would think Abstergo knew exactly who these people are. But is that what you haven't even seen one then, right?
They're in this game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the two of the characters from 1, 2, and 3 are in this game from Unity and Black Flag and stuff like that. But there hasn't been an actual playing in the future type area. There's no first person playing in the future. I've only seen them in cutscenes.
I see.
So the only playable parts have been playing as Evie and Jacob, and in the submission that they get, that is very interesting so far. That's all I can say about it. I don't want to spoil it, but it's very interesting. But all in all, very solid game. One of the better Assassin's Creed games. Best one since Black Flag. And I mean, even though Black Flag was only like 2 years ago.
That wasn't really an Assassin's Creed game either, was it?
No, it was a pirate game. It was a pirate game. I mean, if we're going to go an actual Assassin's Creed game, it's been the best one since
Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the combat more refined? I had some issues with Unity's combat. It seemed like it kind of went downhill from the original combat.
It's brutal. It's brutal and it's refined.
Okay. So it's better?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. Does it fit the era that you seem to be playing in?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. It definitely fits that era. I mean, like I said, where the bare knuckle brawl is one of the main entertainments in the city. You can definitely see that with Jacob, who looks like he's been in a couple bare knuckle brawls in the way he fights.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, best Assassin's Creed games I've played since Brotherhood.
That's saying an awful lot, I would say, because I would agree Revolution wasn't very good. I didn't really care for Assassin's Creed 3, though I'm one of the people in that crowd who thought it got a little more flack than it deserved. Assassin's Creed 4 was not even an Assassin's Creed game, and Unity was just a broken mess, and by the time I got around to it, it was mostly fixed, but you could tell it wasn't a very good Assassin's Creed game, so... I'm glad that this one, it looked like a long time ago when we were watching videos on it initially, that this seemed to be, I think it was a newer developer taking on this game. It's their first Assassin's Creed game, and it seemed like they were kind of going back to the roots of Assassin's Creed, trying to tell this linear, single-player story. Maybe not linear, because you still have that whole city to play around in, but yeah. It seemed like they were kind of getting back to the basics, not trying to do 4-player co-op and 100 million people on screen. So that definitely, would you say it's worth a buy?
Yeah, definitely worth a buy. Now, for most people, I would say if you're not a big fan of it, if you've been burned on it before, you might want to wait until it goes down to a used copy. Mm. But if you are a diehard, if you played Unity and played it all the way through, and you've been looking at clips of Syndicate and was like, it looks better than Unity, you'd find it's worth the $60 that you'll pay for it, or $50 or whatever you pay for it. I mean, you may be paying it cheaper, but you know, yeah, I'd say it's a full price game.
Okay. Well, anything else? What else have you been playing? Is that it?
Destiny. Destiny. Destiny has hit the wall. I've hit the wall with Destiny.
Uh-oh.
Because of freaking hard mode that they've introduced into the raid, and you're not getting any drops from hard mode.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So, like, after Tuesday, you won't be seeing on me on Destiny too much longer. Destiny is one of those games where it's nice to have other people that play it.
Sure.
But other than that, I can play other games for a solo experience that I don't have to worry about their servers being up or down.
Right.
You know, I can play Assassin's Creed offline. I can't play Destiny offline.
Right.
So, but the only other game that I did play and I did finish before the last time we recorded was Tales from the Borderlands. Because the last episode dropped October 20th. And I replayed from episode 1 all the way to episode 5 and finished it.
Okay. Is this Telltale doing anything good this time? Or?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it's almost tied with The Walking Dead.
The original Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah. It has some, it kind of hits you in the feels a little bit with some of the stuff that happens in it, and especially with episode 4 and 5. Four was a little out of place, but there are some scenes in it that make it worthwhile, make it so it's not such a slog through the last 2 chapters of it, but 5 is where they've just hit you with everything. They answer all your questions that want to be answered, and then leave you with a question at the end as well. So it was a very enjoyable Telltale game to play through. I'm glad I waited. Well, I didn't really have a choice because my save game got corrupted, I guess, and lost in the vacuum of space, time, and continuum. So I couldn't play.
Why does it seem like every time I hear someone talk about a Telltale game, that happens?
Well, you know what? That's the first time it happened to me in a Telltale game. Walking Dead, Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead Season 2. None of that happened.
Interesting.
As soon as I get Tales from the Borderlands and Game of Thrones, both of their saves went missing. So I'd have to replay Game of Thrones, but I'm thinking of not finishing that one because from what I've heard from the story, from the episodes I haven't played, it doesn't get any better. So, but I've already paid for the whole thing. So it's like, you know, whenever I get a chance, I may play it again. But Tales from the Borderlands, it was worth it. Definitely one of those things where you kind of want to want the whole thing to play it. You don't want to play episode by episode by episode. You want to have the whole chunk for it and play it all the way through. Because every time I finished playing one episode, I wanted to play the next episode just to see what was going to happen.
Right, I agree. From the games that I played, that's how I would like it too as well.
And there were some interesting cameos from other Borderlands games. A certain robot decides to show up if you do the right things. Handsome Jack is still a jerk, and he is at his jerkiest in most of this game. But I would say this is a definite buy it as well. If you're into those story time video games, it's a definite buy it. And if you like people watching you play video games or something like that, if you have somebody that wants to watch you play a video game or something like that, it's a perfect video game to play through, especially with a couple or as a couple. Because I mean, you could be playing it, and she could be giving you the choices. She could tell you which one she wants you to choose, or vice versa.
Right.
I'm thinking whenever me and my girl move, that we'll play something like that. Just so I can see what her choices would be in this game, because I kind of went with the nobler choices. That's almost always me in a video game. It's like I'm always a good guy. It's going to be the same thing when Fallout hits. So I'm going to be the good guy. But it was a great game to play. I enjoyed it all the way through. You know, even though episode four was kind of, but it made it all worth it with episode 5.
Well, maybe that's if I'm not really a fan of Borderlands or the Telltale series anymore, so I don't know if I'd be able to actually make it through that. But I really do like your point about playing that with a second person, even if it's just a friend. I think that's a really good idea for those games.
Yeah, it just gives you an idea of what they'd want you to do compared to what you'd do.
Yeah.
You know, and you just choose whatever you want to choose. Cause I mean, you know, you can go with your friend's advice or you can go with your own advice and maybe discuss stuff after that. Like, why would you choose that? Or why would you choose that? You know, see if there was another choice that could have been made as well. But I don't know. Like I said, I like those type of games when they work right.
How about anything else? You been playing anything, any other games?
Nope. I missed out on Halo, and I missed out on Call of Duty. I'm kind of mad I missed out on Call of Duty because I've seen videos of people playing, and it's like that itch is starting to get there. It's like I want a good competitive shooter, but I want a competitive shooter that's not Destiny because. Destiny. It's starting to irk my nerves right now. Like I said, I can't wait until Tuesday, and I got two other games to play. Well, what about you?
I can kind of fill in some voids for Black Ops for you. I know, like you said, you're not actually playing the game. However, it's not. I wouldn't say it's the best Call of Duty game ever. I would still reserve that for Modern Warfare 2. I'm not a Modern Warfare 1. Fanboy, I admit it's a pretty good game, and it was the one that broke the ground for every other series follow or every other franchise in that franchise following that. Advanced Warfare, Ghost, Black Ops, etc. But I'm a big fan of Modern Warfare 2, and I think this game does a lot of things good. However, the negatives I think are pretty just awful. I think they're really really wow. awful. So. It does a lot of good things that make you go, this is awesome. I'm glad they're doing this. And then there's a few things that are just terrible. One of those that we alluded to earlier, that PC version is pretty much atrocious. You got things like memory leaks. You got CPU problems. You got low frame rates. The game won't even boot up. That's a big deal. But I did not play it on PC. I played it on Xbox One. Went out and bought the game. $60 at GameStop, which tells you a lot. I'd never go and do that. I didn't want to wait for the download, though. Because I waited until the reviews were out on Friday. I wanted to make sure it was at least solid. And so I went out to GameStop after I got off work and bought the game and let it install. Xbox One's install process for disc. Good God. If there's a day one update and you're trying to install that disc, you better go offline. That's the best way to do it. Go offline, get off of Xbox Live, install the game, go back to Xbox Live, let it update, and then you're good to go. Every time I do the day one update while trying to install, it freezes up. It's ridiculous. Anyway, that's no fault of Activision. That seems to be a problem with Microsoft. So get into the game. You got a lot of content in here. You got the campaign, obviously, which took me about 10 hours to complete. Some of the levels I did with another player, most of them I finished by myself through a solo. Then in addition to the campaign, you got your obviously multiplayer, which comes with maybe 8 maps, somewhere around there. Seems pretty standard for a Call of Duty game. Those include deathmatch, you know, free for all, your staples in Call of Duty. Everything, mostly everything you want is there. Domination's there, that kind of thing. You got your UAVs, you got your perks, you got your score breaks, I think this is what they call it now, which are maybe score streaks, which are essentially kill streaks. I don't guess they're not calling them kill streaks anymore, but that core multiplayer game that was started with Modern Warfare 1, that's still there. Obviously, you're in the future this time, well into the future. I'll get to that in a second. But the multiplayer is still there. It's solid. If you like that multiplayer, it's really good for you. And it's gonna be what you expect. It's not Advanced Warfare. It's a little more like Titanfall. It's definitely not Ghosts. So you kind of get a feel. This is a much more mobile game in terms of how you move around the map, that kind of thing. In addition to the multiplayer mode and the campaign mode, you got your zombies mode because this is a Treyarch game, and Treyarch seems to be the only one that Activision allows to do a zombie mode. So you got your zombie mode in there. And then there is a secret campaign for once you beat the normal campaign that unlocks a nightmares mode. It's not really a secret. It's all over the internet. And nightmares mode is just the campaign. All of the campaign assets, including the players, the cutscenes, are rehashed for a zombie campaign. And so the way they do that is they take the the movie sequences, the cutscenes from the game, and let a female character, they force everyone to play this. You have to be a female character because that's just what the story is. And they have the female character kind of, it's like she's recalling to a doctor the events that took place. And so you watch these cutscenes and you see the people from the actual campaign talking, but now you have a narrator and a person listening to the narrator who are talking back and forth through a discussion about how this virus took over and started turning all these people into the dead, and how there's these weird dreams. And then you actually get to the gameplay. It's the same levels as the regular campaign. It's just now they're full of zombies as opposed to actual enemies. It is cool. I wish it was a fully fledged new campaign, but I can totally see the decision to making it like this. It'd be much cheaper. Someone must have went to a higher up at Activision and said, look, I can make this whole campaign a zombie campaign for very cheap if you just let me do it. And that's probably what happened. It is pretty fun. It changes the game completely. You can't upgrade your weapons. You can't upgrade your character like you can do in the regular campaign. You can upgrade your special abilities, upgrade your weapons. But in the zombie campaign, whatever gun you take in, that's the gun you got unless you find a gun on the ground. Now, they do import some of the zombies mode stuff here. So you have is it the musical box or the magical box? Mystery box? Maybe it's the mystery box. Does that sound right?
Mystery box, yeah.
Yeah, so every now and then you'll find a mystery box. You'll find the teddy bears that you can collect in this zombie campaign. And enemies will drop guns that you can pick up immediately that will, you don't even have to press a button for. They just automatically appear in your hand once you walk over the icon. And you're able to then use that gun. And they're usually better guns than what you can normally use. But ammo is scarce. The enemies aren't shooting at you, so... And they're fairly quiet zombies. You know, they can just appear behind you and start to destroy you. So you got to be really careful. So it changes the entire dynamic of the campaign because the enemies are so radically different from what you were previously exposed to. So even though you see the campaign levels and you know what you're going to be going through, everything changes now because they're zombies. And so I think that's actually really cool how they were able to pull that off. The game runs great on the consoles. It's 60 frames per second. It's mostly buttery smooth, kind of like what you experience with Assassin's Creed when you're kind of jumping into a new set piece. So like a big explosion happens and you're sliding down the side of a building or something and you land and the gameplay picks up. You'll notice some sluggish performance right there, and then it'll feel like it's dropping to 30 frames per second and then trying to force its way up to 60 or something. That's what you kind of feel. But once everything is loaded and everything is done being in motion, and you're still playing and you're still running around, things smoothing out. Similar to how you're describing with Assassin's Creed Syndicate. There are a couple really interesting moments that happen in the campaign. Not to spoil it, and you're going to wonder how this is possible, but you kind of go into World War II for a moment in the regular campaign, and you also get to kill zombies in the regular campaign. Which is kind of cool. You have to play the campaign to really understand what I'm talking about. It's not what you expect. So the campaign as a whole story is interesting. It's not very deep, but it does take a turn that I was not expecting. So I got to give it credit for that. It's pretty interesting where it goes. And it's somewhere where you're playing the game about halfway through. You're like, huh, I was not expecting that. Touche, Treyarch. Unfortunately, though, the reason most people buy this game, at least what it seems to me, is that they buy these Black Ops, these Treyarch games for zombies. And this is my first zombie experience, and what I could not wrap my head around is why some people were willing to pay $100 for this game, which includes the $60 game and the $40 season pass, for a total of 5 zombie maps. 5. And what that means is, you don't get the other 3 to 4 until those season pass tickets, DLC items, drop down the road. So at launch, for $60, you get 1 zombies map, just 1. And if you pay for the season pass, which again is $40, remember we were laughing how ridiculous Arkham Knight's $40 season pass was, and we couldn't believe they were doing a $40 season pass. Now everyone's doing a $40 season pass. For $40 in the season pass, you get an additional map for right now. And it's the Giant. It's a remap. It is a rehash of a map that has been in a Call of Duty game before. Maybe World at War. Maybe Black Ops 1. I'm not sure. But it is a map that you have played before. It's just remastered, essentially. So you're paying extra money for a map you already have played and owned at some point, and wanted one map that is brand new. So those of that's if you pay $100, and then you get 3 to 4 new maps down the road at some point. But those of us that played $60, we're not allowed to play the map. So there's only two maps. So if your friends that are playing on that new map, the giant one, the one that you have to have the season pass for, that they paid $100 for, you can't play with them. So you have to hope that they go and play that one level that they don't understand, that is not new, that is not familiar to them. And it feels like I and a couple other of my friends, it feels like everyone who paid $60 kind of got burned on this. And their excuse is, well, that's just how they always do it. And I think that's terrible, almost criminal. I can't believe that you get one level for this mode. I would think that you at least get a few, you know, and then season pass options, sure, give you additional content, just like multiplayer gives you additional multiplayer maps. But damn, one level? I think I texted you asking you if that's how they normally do it. And you were like, yeah, that's, I was like, yep. Holy crap. I can't believe that. I think that is just absolutely abysmal. I still think this is a good game. I think the campaign is solid. It was fun. The Zombies Secret campaign is great. The multiplayer, everything is fluid. But damn, is that frustrating.
Oh, Brad. Oh, man. See, this is what happens when you haven't bought a Call of Duty game since Modern Warfare 2.
That is part of the problem, I think.
That is the problem. That's the main problem.
I cannot believe that I was seriously, my jaw was maybe touching the floor as this was being revealed to me, right? Because I boot the game up and I start playing and we jump into zombies mode and I was not the host. And so we go into a map and we play it 2 or 3 times. And then some of us take a break and play the campaign. And then some of us go back because they got the download to work because there were some issues with getting that new map, the giant map. And they get this map and I go to join and it won't let me join. I'm like, what? I can't play this? And so I start looking into it and literally there is only one map available to me for zombies mode. I just could not, my head was like wanting to explode. I couldn't believe this. And then the second thing that I really have an issue with is it feels like the multiplayer hasn't evolved at all. We are still at a point where these first person multiplayer shooters, especially Call of Duty, cannot seem to find the answer to their progression system. And what I mean by that is I'm a level 1 playing that game. And right now, I think multiplayer, I started in zombies and then finished the campaign. So in multiplayer, I'm a rank 1. Jumping into multiplayer at rank 1, you have the very basic weapons with iron sights, and that's it. You know, you've played Call of Duty games before. Yeah. It's like this in Modern Warfare 2. You have no red dots. You have no ACOGs. You have access to the lower end of the perks, etc. And as you level up and progress through the game, you get better and better guns with better and better attachments. So those people that are higher levels have better weaponry than you. And so me starting out as a level 1 or level 2 today, I think was the first day, I'm in there with level 40s and up. And guess what? All the guns that they have, they're way better than the guns that I have. And so I'm just getting slaughtered by people with better scopes, better perks. And I feel like there should by now be some sort of fix, since you have 50 million people playing this game, that you could somehow link low-level players with low-level players, not put rank 1 people with prestige people. That doesn't make any sense to me. But unfortunately, that's how it is, and I think that's a real bummer. I don't see why people haven't solved that. I mean, we've had ranking systems before. I mean, Halo's done this since Halo 2. You get your rank 1, you match up with rank 1 through 4s or something like that, not rank 40s. So I don't know why Call of Duty hasn't done this. This is still a problem, and this was a problem in 2007 when Modern Warfare came out. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and it's really frustrating getting back into a Call of Duty game's multiplayer and having to go through that again, where I'm just getting slaughtered until you can somehow, you know, get 5, 10, 15 kills so you can rank up, because obviously you rank up based on your score, and you get 100, 150 points for doing things like kills, so that's a big bummer, and it doesn't make me want to keep playing the multiplayer, unfortunately.
Well, okay. You're right about the whole ranking thing. But I do have to ask, were you playing you're playing by yourself, or were you playing with other people?
No, I have multiple people. There's a bunch of people who got this game. I have been playing with multiple people, yeah.
Were they higher level than you, or were y'all about the same?
They maybe 6 to 8 levels higher than me. I wouldn't say they weren't level 30s or anything like that, but okay. They were probably pushing level 10 for sure.
Okay, all right, never mind then. Because I was going to say, if they're level 30, if you got more people that are level 30 than there are level 1, they're going to put you in a game with people that are their level, not your level. So you're going to be screwed either way. But, okay, to have a game where you guys are basically like level 6s against level 30s and stuff, like level 30s and level 40s, you know, that is kind of screwed up. It also depends, I guess, on the game type that you're playing too, because I mean, team deathmatch, you have a better chance of rolling into a group that are the same level that you do, like a search and destroy or something like that, because there's more, you know, they're more stylized, they're more, you know, more people play the team deathmatch than they do the search and destroy, so you're going to get matched up with those people no matter what. But yeah, they've always seemed to have that problem. I don't know how many games you played. I would say give it a couple games. It may even out for you. It may not. But the zombie thing, they've been doing this since Black Ops 1, where they give you one zombie map, and in all the... Now, in most of the other season passes before this, they would be map packs plus a zombie map also. So you get maps for the multiplayer, and you get a map for zombie mode, maybe one or two maps between the season passes. So, but they've been doing this since Black Ops 1, where they just give you one zombie map and that's it.
My goodness, it's like criminal.
But I mean, I think this may be the first one to do the one zombie map, and then also you get another one right from the get go from the season pass too. So I can see where your frustration may lie for that one, whereas most of the other ones, it's like zombie map, and then a couple months later, new zombie map. So you can have fun with the older one, and then by the time the new one comes out, you can be like, okay, I don't mind shelling out the little bit of money for the one zombie map or something like that. So, but right now, I can see where your frustrations are at, where it's like, oh, I want to play with my friends. Oh, they're playing the season pass zombie map. I don't have that because I didn't buy the season pass.
Yeah. That's and
$40 bucks for a season pass is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that's where it really gets frustrating when that begins to happen. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, they're just going to keep doing it if we have people, you know, still spending $100 who are willing to spend that extra money for things like that and don't really care because they really want to play a certain mode. And I mean, I can't tell anyone what to do with their money. That's if they want to do that, that's fine. It's just that is, I think, a problem for this series and moving forward. I have numerous friends who I know went ahead and did that just because they wanted that additional map as well as access to the additional maps later down the road. So I think, fortunately, there's a good precedence being set right now, and that's with Halo. I know I've mentioned my distaste for their rec system and their microtransactions, but one of the benefits to having that is that these maps are free in Halo. And I said that when I first started talking about that weeks and weeks ago, that I think that's a plus. Sure, I don't like the microtransactions that they have in multiplayer and the rec system and being able to get better guns and tanks, etc. I think it should all be cosmetic, but the plus side of that, the silver lining, is that every single map pack for Halo 5 that comes out will be free. And you no longer will have this segregated multiplayer community where some people will play this playlist that only has the mythic map pack, and some people will play this one, and the other people who didn't get any will have to be on this playlist. So I really do, I think that's a better system, and I hope Call of Duty can do that in the future, but until then, I think I am going on another long hiatus from Call of Duty after this one. I don't think when was the last one that I purchased? It'll be Modern Warfare 2, which would have come out in 2009. So that is 6 years. Yes, yeah, so maybe another 6 years before I pick up a Call of Duty game again, because that really, really burned me. Again, I think this is a solid game, and I originally was like, man, I want to return this game. I know I can't return it, but maybe I can go get 30, 35 bucks of store credit at GameStop and put that towards Tomb Raider next week. But I ultimately did not, because I really wanted to unlock that zombie secret campaign, which I'm glad that I did. And I was really curious to try out the multiplayer some more. So it also has a theater mode, which is, I don't know if that's a first for the franchise, but it's very robust. to where you can look at basically any angle. You have free mode. You can do all of the things that you've been able to do in other theater mode games, like Halo did it for Halo 3. And I think that's really awesome. You got all kinds of things like you can edit your emblems, which is pretty intuitive and pretty in-depth. You can edit your clan tags. You can specialize all these. They have all these extra specialized classes now, like a Tempest, and there's one that's an Archer. So they're adding a bunch of new elements to this game, and I think it's a really solid entry. Certainly better than Ghosts and Advanced Warfare from what I was able to read on those games. And the console versions aren't broken, so that's a plus. But that zombies thing and the multiplayer issues that have been apparent since Modern Warfare 1, good lord. Those are real bummers, man.
Yeah, I can see that being like, I mean, Call of Duty is just split into basically three different parts. You're playing either campaign, playing competitive multiplayer, or you're playing zombies. If two out of those three parts are not what you're feeling right now, then you basically just got a single player game, and you better thank God you didn't get it for the 360 or the PS3.
Right.
Because, little side note, have you seen the pictures, the comparison videos of the 360 version to the Xbox One version?
Oh boy, they're, it looks like a different game. Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. It's Xbox One. That's a tank. Xbox 360. That's a van or a bunch of boxes. You know, yeah. It's like, wow, this is a completely different game. I mean, considering that they have no campaign, so. You know, you'd have been screwed if you'd gotten it on the 360 and not like the campaign or not like the multiplayer part or the zombie part, because that was all the things that you really wanted other than the campaign. And you enjoy the campaign, but you can't just keep playing that.
That's true.
So, I mean, I can understand you wanting to trade it in to get something better, something that'll keep your attention a little bit more, you know, but, honestly, I would say just hold on to it, because, I mean, you never know what could come down the pipeline with the game. There could be some fixes. Like, I mean, with Halo, for instance, they just pulled a map from off their playlist because people were not enjoying the map. There was some bugs in it and everything, and just 343 just decided, you know what, we're just going to pull the map out of the playlist, and we're going to be working on some other maps as well. So, you know, just keep sending your advice into us, and we'll keep looking at your feedback and taking care of it. I don't know if Call of Duty is going to do the same thing, but you know, you might want to hold on to it just in case you may decide that you might like it again. Who knows?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to hang on to the game. Speaking of the campaign as well, there was this big push by the marketing team to say that, oh, the four-player co-op campaign, it's going to be so large and it's going to be enormous, and there's all these different ways you can traverse the levels, and it's so big it can't be put on the older consoles. I think that's total bullshit. There are multiple ways now to traverse these levels, and you can run on walls, and you can climb up more buildings because you can jump a little higher. But at the end of the day, you are still in a box in a corridor. Even though there's a skybox above you and it looks like you're kind of outside, you are still in a box. And if you run 15 feet too far to the left, this little red box pops up on your screen with a countdown and a warning message saying, return to battlefield area. And the countdown will literally count down and then kill you if you don't. So this is not this huge, robust, you know, campaign. You can go way over here and way over there. It is still damn linear. And it holds your hand as if you're a 5-year-old. Now, I say that it's a joke. There are lots of young people who play, young people who play this game, and maybe they need their hand held. But it's laughable as an adult, someone who's, you know, legal to drink, legal to join the military, and legal to smoke, having their hand held through this game as if you're not allowed to touch that, Brad. Nope. Don't touch that. I touch that control panel. I open these doors. I move the set pieces forward. And so it's kind of funny playing through the campaign, and you're seeing how tight and controlled the developer has put this game in front of you. And I keep thinking about, wow, the promise that they had of these huge levels and, you know, being able to traverse them on your own way. They are so hallway-y. It's just, it makes it look like it's not a hallway. It's not a corridor of killing and then moving to the next door. They make it look like it's not by putting you kind of outside and putting a little ladder over here you can climb up to get a better viewpoint. So I think it's really just silly that they didn't, maybe they didn't just want to put it on the old consoles. And I get the business side of that, why they wouldn't want to do that. I don't think they really should have had old gen console versions anyway, but they probably could make some money off of them. So I see why they would have done it, but I think it's total BS that they couldn't fit the campaigns on those older gen hardwares. It's not that large and robust. I think it's just like any other Call of Duty game. It just supports four players as opposed to one. So, but that's not to say it's not fun. There's still some very fun moments. It's just, man, it is not, it's not what they were promising, I don't think. But then again, I mean, what Call of Duty campaign is what they're promising, so.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, like I said, I'm going to keep it. I enjoy the game. I've had actually put a lot of time into it this whole weekend, so I'm definitely going to be keeping it. But like you said, with Destiny, come Tuesday, I won't be playing much of anything. So, let's move into what we're looking forward to. Since I really haven't played anything else, I touched into Minecraft a bit. But let's talk about how much time you're going to spend day one on Fallout.
Okay. Day one in Fallout?
No, day one, like the day the game comes out.
Yeah, I know.
You going to wake up early?
Well, I mean, I got to wake up early for work anyway, because it comes out Tuesday. I still got to work.
Right.
But I don't know how much preload that Steam does or the game does when you preload it. I don't know if they're preloading basically most of it, if not all of it. So if I'm up, I mean, I'm going to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning anyway. I may play for an hour and a half or so. Before I go to work that Tuesday morning. But honestly, I'm really thinking about playing Tomb Raider first before I've played Fallout.
Oh, wow. Really?
Because Tomb Raider, I feel, you know, Tomb Raider, it's going to be linear. There's not going to be branching paths in it. You know, it's easy to be spoiled with Tomb Raider. Fallout, it's going to take people a minute to get through Fallout to spoil anything. I'm not really going to care if they spoil like a side mission or whatever. You know, it's Fallout. It's an open world game. You know, it's going to take me time to get through it anyway. They'll probably spoil it before I even finish the game in the first place, even if I started with the game. So I figure I'll play Tomb Raider first and split it up between Tomb Raider and Fallout. I'll finish Tomb Raider first before I finish Fallout, but I figure Tomb Raider won't take me as long anyway. So,
interesting yeah. Turn of events there.
Now, who's to say about, you know, because Wednesday is a holiday. So
you have Wednesday off?
Yeah, it's Veterans Day. So the post office is closed Veterans Day. Oh, so yeah.
You lucky dog.
So yeah, so when Tuesday afternoon hits and I get off of work. It's nothing but games, nothing but Tomb Raider and Fallout. So I may actually be finished with Tomb Raider by the time middle of Veterans Day Wednesday.
Yeah, they are saying it's, I think I read 15 to 20 hours for the Tomb Raider campaign.
Never mind. I won't be finished middle of Veterans Day. I might be finished by the end of Veterans Day.
There you go.
And then getting into Fallout on Thursday, but I'm going to try Fallout. I'm not going to be stupid and not play it the first day when I get it. Because
what'd you get Fallout on? Which platform?
PC.
Okay, you got it for PC. Okay.
Yep. Now, and I have seen like the maximum things that you need to have for your PC. I'm talking about, I think, 3 or 4 gigs for your video card.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm pushing 2, so. You know, it may not be the prettiest Fallout game. It won't be Ultra.
Well, their engine looks like it's pretty reserved. It doesn't look like it's Crysis by any stretch of the means. So I think you'll be okay. But yeah, that would be something, yeah, for sure to be concerned about. But yeah, again, it looks like it's not this massively beautiful open world game that's pushing hyper realistic graphics. Because I would just go ahead and assume that your PC can handle anything an Xbox One or PlayStation 4 can have. So if this game is running on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I think your computer can handle it just fine. So,
yeah, if the game wants to work right, you know, Batman or Call of Duty now, you know, all those other games that are messing up on the PC. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, so you probably won't, you might not be putting any hours into
Fallout. There'll definitely be some hours in by the time we record again. But, and I may only put in like a couple to 3 hours in the Fallout the day of.
I'm definitely going to be waking up very early Tuesday morning to boot this game up for the first time. The same thing that I did for Witcher and Dragon Age. I'll probably be repeating that process for Fallout as well. And that includes just waking up maybe 2 hours early every morning, getting some playtime in before I have to, you know, get ready for work, that kind of thing, and then playing it all night when I come home from work. So I will be definitely putting in a bunch of time early that morning, and then the rest of the week is looking pretty open for me as well. So I don't know when I'm going to get Tomb Raider. I don't know when I will do that. Maybe if I get really frustrated with Fallout, because you know, this is coming from the guy who didn't make it past being a child in Fallout 3. So there is, there's still the chance that I will boot this game up and be like, what the hell have I just done? And turn it off and be like, I'm going to play Tomb Raider. So who knows?
Yeah, I really hope it doesn't end like that for you, because it's like we've been kind of hoping for this game for a while. You know, you weren't completely on board at start, but you know, after seeing some of the videos and stuff, you're like, okay, yeah, Fallout 4. I hope it doesn't end well. I hope it doesn't end bad for you, where it's like, oh, well, this was Fallout 4, all right. Just like Fallout 3, it doesn't live to its expectations for me, so I don't want to play it anymore. So.
I don't know. Maybe if I don't have to play as a little child, I'd be okay.
Well, you shouldn't. You're playing as an adult. You start as an adult. So I mean,
at least that's what it looks like.
It better. I mean, from all the videos I've seen, they've shown, and the reviews hit tomorrow.
9 a.m. reviews hit tomorrow.
9 a.m. Pacific time. So they had an embargo. On the embargo for reviews.
That's true.
That's how bad this was. But yeah, 9 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow. I believe it's Pacific. They hit tomorrow. And a lot of people are already going to be doing playthroughs tomorrow as well. IGN has already got their set up for tomorrow. So, and I'm pretty sure Kotaku will probably have a live stream somewhat. You know, Screw Attack, those guys, all of them will probably have some sort of live stream. If not, Monday, the day of. So I don't know if you'll be looking at the reviews like I will be.
Oh, I will be. I'll be looking on the Reddit forums, wondering how the performance is for the PC version. That's what I do for all these big PC versions. I want to know how are they running and what are people doing who are having problems. What are they doing to get the game running pretty well so that I'm more equipped when the time comes to deal with that type of thing if I need to. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm really interested as well to see how Tomb Raider performs on the Xbox One. I know they talked about 1080p, 30 frames per second was the developer's target, but I'm curious to see. I haven't seen that much. Do you know when the review embargoes lift for that game?
I would think it'd probably be the same day as Fallout, because I mean, I haven't actually seen anything about them, you know, having a big embargo on that one either. So, I mean, technically they should have actually had it out like maybe today at the earliest, but I would almost think that it would come out Monday as well, but they may save it until Tuesday. If they know that Fallout's actually coming out, you know, on Monday for their reviews, they may save it till Tuesday. And I mean, I really haven't seen too much video or anything of it. Like they keep putting that same 27 minute beginning of the game, basically, video for it. But
yeah, you're talking about the intro where they're showing like the first 30 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. And I steered away from that. I really don't like looking at those because I don't want to be spoiled on it. First off,
yeah.
Second of all, it's just, you know, I don't want to see somebody else playing a game that I'm pretty sure I'm going to be playing. So if it's something I'm not going to be playing, go ahead, play it. I don't care. Something for the PS4 that's only PS4, like Until Dawn, I'll watch the whole series on that because I wasn't going to get it anytime soon.
Agreed.
But, yeah, I mean, I really hope that these two games live up to what they're supposed to be. You know, Tomb Raider being a resurgence for the Xbox One and Fallout just being Fallout. So, and I mean, you know, I would say I'm glad you didn't get it on Xbox One because you'd get a copy of Fallout 3 as well. So it's probably a good idea that you didn't get it on the Xbox One.
Agreed.
But, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how well these games stack up. And, you know, we won't steer you wrong, folks, on whether these games are great or complete dog shit.
That's right. We will have more discussion on Fallout, on Tomb Raider, and anything else that comes out from that point on. I don't know if we'll get to Battlefront by the time that comes out. I'm not looking to play buying Battlefront. So
we may have to bring somebody in for that one because I ain't getting that one either. So we may have to bring in some help to talk about Battlefront.
All right. Well, that should just about wrap us up here on this episode of VGCast. As always, if you guys like what you see, what you hear, please give us a thumbs up, a like, a review, and or a rating to show us some support. Feel free to subscribe via iTunes, via Podcast Addict, which is my recommendation for Android. However, special note, I have heard that Pocket Casts, I believe is the app that I used to use, has since updated dramatically. I think they've gone to Material Design on Android, so that I've heard that's actually a really good, viable option now for Android users. So check that one out as well if you're on Android. Or simply just visit Podomatic.com and find us, VGCast, on that website. Thanks, Troy, and for helping me cast this episode of Video Game, VG Podcast, VGCast. And from all of us here at VGCast, we will catch you guys in the next one. Peace.